Thursday, June 14th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, you know when both sides of the fake two-party divide and their mockingbird media propaganda outlets are forcing the same story into your consciousness. Admittedly, each with their own partisan spin to it, that there is absolutely some bigger news that they just don't want you paying attention to. The big distraction today is the next chapter of this ongoing FBI Comey-Clinton saga, where seemingly no one is ever held accountable for any of the bombshell crimes and discoveries that we're told are world-bendingly important, and no actual charges or repercussions ever seem to materialize, as the next big claim always seems to eclipse the last. This carousel of lies and misdirection, this American political theater that is quickly becoming the laughingstock of the world, is just that, misdirection. How is it that this story is still ongoing? How is it that this farcical sideshow, that is the Mueller probe, is still happening? It's because the whole thing is meant to keep us divided on party lines and keep us sufficiently morally outraged about whatever new text or quote or salacious claim is thrown out that day. Meanwhile, we have the Russians asserting yet again the claims they made last month, and apparently with more evidence, that the U.S. forces are preparing another false flag in Syria. We have the UN resoundingly voting to condemn Israel's actions in Gaza, which does not look good for the U.S., who has unequivocally and unquestioningly backed whatever they do. And we have the UN yet again warning that U.S.-Saudi actions in Yemen are creating an absolute human rights genocidal catastrophe. But none of that matters because of some new Strozik text message or Comey being called insubordinate. My God, alert the world. Not that you need any more evidence to see through the circus act that is mainstream media today, but sometimes it's just too obvious not to point out. And hopefully, one more person who stumbles across this show will be shaken free from the comforting suffocation of their propaganda. So for the first story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Russia warns credible information of impending staged chemical attack in Syria. Every time without fail the Syrian army is on a trajectory of overwhelming victory, we see reports of an ill-timed and strategically nonsensical mass chemical attack on civilians supposedly ordered by Assad, inevitably giving the West an open door for military intervention, new rounds of crippling sanctions, and yet more international media condemnation heaped on Damascus. And this week, the Russian Defense Ministry has warned of just such a scenario. Russian Defense Ministry spokesman Igor Konechnikov said earlier in the week that U.S.-backed Free Syrian Army forces are planning a, quote, serious provocation aimed at justifying a new round of Western coalition missile attacks against Syrian government bases and facilities. As this information is getting a resurgence in the independent media due to Russian announcing it yet again, it is important to remember that this was reported by Whitney Webb all the way back on May 14th, as well as by Brandon Turbeville, and I went on to discuss both of them in my past show from May 15th. So for all of those out there currently trying to discredit the Russian claims as some sort of new propaganda effort to cover for their own actions, which by the way is certainly possible, but there's absolutely no evidence to support it, This demonstrates very clearly that this has been an ongoing point. So again, just like the last time false flag chemical attack we saw, we are presented with tangible evidence from one side while getting only conjecture and supposition from the other. So regardless of who is saying what, a logical person, especially with limited information, has no choice but to side with the evidence here, which clearly suggests that yet another false flag event is impending. And all that being said, there is mountains of evidence demonstrating not only that these past events were not due to the actions of Assad, but were either staged or carried out by U.S. proxies in order to justify its ongoing illegal occupation of Syria. These are simply the facts. Konechnikov said, quote, according to the information confirmed through three independent channels in Syria, the command of the so-called Free Syrian Army, aided by the forces of U.S. special ops units, are preparing a serious provocation involving chemical warfare agents in the Deir ez-Zor province. The TASS media release explained further, quote, according to Konechnikov, FSA militants have delivered chlorine cylinders to the Syrian Deir ez-Zor province to simulate another chemical attack against civilians. After being published in Western media, a staged video is set to initiate a missile strike on Syria's state facilities, by the U.S.-led coalition and justify an offensive operation by militants against Syrian governmental forces on the eastern bank of the Euphrates River. Though there's currently no way to verify if such claims are true and no staged video has yet to surface on the internet, the Russian Defense Ministry appears to be painting a potential future scenario, much like April's chemical attack incident. It was a video of mass civilian death, which directly led to Western airstrikes on Syria. And last April's false flag was also one Russia called out prior to the event. And Brandon Turpville also wrote about on February 13th. As I said in my last my video last month, we have yet again been warned by Russia, by Syria, by many independent journalists. So if we see this carried out, we must not let this go unnoticed. We must make sure the average American is made aware of these predictions, or rather the evidence which led to these foreshadowing claims. Moving on to the next story, and highly related, coming from ZeroHedge.com, U.S. officially resumes funding for the White Helmets in Syria. In a somewhat surprising but not entirely unpredictable turn, President Trump has authorized new funding for the White Helmets, which had previously been put on hold. A State Department press release puts the initial funding figure at $6.6 million to continue what it calls, quote, the vital life-saving operations of the Syrian Civil Defense, more commonly known as the White Helmets. Elsewhere on the State Department's website, the group is referenced as, quote, first responders in Syria. However, it remains an indisputable fact that the group only operates in al-Qaeda and anti-Assad insurgent-held territory. The statement continues, quote, the United States government strongly supports the White Helmets, who have saved more than 100,000 lives since the conflict began, including victims of Assad's chemical weapons attacks, end quote. Again, asserting as fact claims that they themselves have admitted on numerous occasions they do not have evidence to support Assad's chemical attacks. That has to raise some red flags. As always, the U.S. is trying to shape the narrative, knowing how short a memory the modern American people have by design. In early May, the Trump State Department froze funding to the controversial aid group, which had provided the sole evidence that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad reportedly used chemical weapons on his own people in an April 7th attack on the city of Douma, which by many well-respected reports never really took place to begin with. And we have to see the absurdity there of using information from a group they stopped funding to justify their attacks on Syria. This, in my opinion, was entirely to put distance between the White House and the White Helmets, even if a deceptive, fake, and temporary distance, as the truth was forcing its way out about the White Helmets and their involvement in this false flag. The funding freeze dealt a huge blow to the group's reputation, already long under fire after multiple videos emerged proving the White Helmets operate closely alongside known al-Qaeda terrorist groups and have even participated in al-Qaeda execution videos, typically in a support role of disposing of the bodies. Interestingly enough, in 2016, the U.S. State Department had blocked entrance into the United States by Raed Salia, if I'm saying his name correctly, the head of the White Helmets, and refused to say why. Salia had been invited to receive a New York City award by USAID and NGOs that the U.S. government finances, but he was barred at the airport, apparently because the FBI had placed him on a no-fly list as a known terrorist. At the time they're funding this group, the leader of the group is on a no-fly list as a known terrorist. Think about the absurdity there. Really, this is just another, this whole thing is just another flimsy attempt by the U.S. to legitimize the White Helmets just prior to what seems to be another impending false flag chemical attack in Syria, in which they will no doubt play their part, as usual, but one that will take place in U.S.-controlled areas and possibly against U.S. soldiers themselves, something that has not yet happened and which will create the justification and outrage needed to coax the masses into supporting an all-out offensive on Syria, as has been the plan all along, or at least the last resort should their proxy wars fail, as they so clearly have. As Whitney Webb from Mint Press News put when discussing reports that the U.S. was planning and preparing a staged attack back in May 14th, she said, quote, this is significant as it would open the door to a greater show of American military force as retaliation. While past U.S. interventions that have followed alleged chemical weapons attacks have been justified out of concern for Syrian civilians, a subsequent intervention would instead be justified as having endangered U.S. military assets and allies, warranting a larger response. Indeed, U.S. special forces have been shown to be embedded with SDF forces in some areas. So that is a profound shift in a very bad direction. So now that we have the warnings for these false flags coming, which we've been getting periodically over the last couple of months. And now we can clearly see that the U.S. going against what they said before and continuing to fund the white helmets as they never really stopped to begin with. This all has to start coming together to show a really clear picture of what's coming. So be prepared to report on it. Be prepared to share this information and make sure this gets out there. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com. UN votes 120-8 to condemn indiscriminate Israeli violence against Palestinians, just hours after a new Human Rights Watch report accused Israel of showing, quote, blatant disregard for Palestinian lives and committing war crimes in its massacre of over 100 nonviolent demonstrators in Gaza over the past several weeks. The United Nations General Assembly on Wednesday voted overwhelmingly in favor of a resolution that condemns Israel's excessive, disproportionate, and indiscriminate use of live fire against peaceful Palestinians. Now, I should note here that, as many will always continue to point out, which is very, very true, a lot of times these UN resolutions ultimately amount to nothing, because a lot of people would argue that the UN is a kind of a shadow puppet force in general, there to distract us. And a lot of these things come together and they make these big grandiose claims and nothing ever really happens, which there's a lot of truth to that statement. Nonetheless, it's hopeful and heartening. It's heartening to see that at the very least, they're stating these things which many categorically deny. So this is a step in the right direction, but I'd like to see some action come from this. The resolution denouncing Israel's murderous behavior, which was approved by a 120-8 vote with 45 abstentions, also requests proposals from the UN Secretary General, quote, ways and means for ensuring the safety, protection, and well-being of the Palestinian civilian population under Israeli occupation. In a last-ditch effort to thwart the UN resolution, of course, the United States tried to ram through an amendment blaming Hamas for initiating violence in the Gaza Strip. The amendment ultimately failed, probably because, as the media analyst Adam Johnson points out, quote, 100% of those killed during the recent anti-occupation protests were killed by Israel. It's very frustrating to see how they continue to push that narrative that, like, again, even if that was the case, that you could somehow just dismiss all of the civilian deaths because Hamas is somehow behind getting them up against the fence. It's absurd to think that that's okay. That's the rationale there. But again, we've pointed out many times over that that's not the case, at the very least in regard to the journalists and doctors and many different cases of average civilians being shot down by Israeli forces. Now, predictably, the U.S. voted against the final measure. Of course, as we pointed out so many times in the past, over probably 50 times now where the U.S. has vetoed actions against Israel in the United Nations. In addition to backing the U.N. resolution that was approved on Wednesday, Human Rights Watch called, quote, an international criminal court to open a formal investigation into the situation in Palestine. So again, a lot of words, a lot of positive things being said. If action comes from this, if this follows through, this is a fantastic thing, but we'll have to wait and see what actually happens. But again, as I said, simply putting these things out there from as what many people would see as recognizable and reputable organizations, it's a very good step in the right direction that will hopefully open the eyes of many people seeing this happen. Moving on to the next story coming from theantimedia.com, UN warns attack on Yemen port could starve 8.4 million people. The humanitarian crisis in northern Yemen is set to get drastically worse, according to the UN, as the lone seaport in the region has been attacked by Saudi and UAE-led forces with the help of the US. The port is responsible for feeding some 8.4 million people. As we recently reported from Mint Press News, UN warned that 10 million more Yemenis were expected to starve by the end of the year. So adding this into that assessment due to past events, clearly this number is continuing to increase. UN officials say they are continuing to send aid ships to the Yemen port now despite the offensive. So far, the attacking forces haven't entered the city itself, though the ability to transfer the aid out of the city to the millions of civilians is uncertain. The UN also says that they are considering humanitarian airlifts into northern Yemen as a way to keep distributing food if the port falls and the rebel-held territory becomes landlocked. Doing this on the scale of 8.4 million people would be an enormous endeavor. Airlifts into northern Yemen have been tried in the past, and Saudi Arabia even attacked the airport in the capital city of Sana'a to prevent cargo planes landing there early in the war. A Saudi-led blockade of the coast has left northern Yemen on the brink of starvation, and medical shortages have killed a number of people. This is such a frustrating, ongoing story that seems to get completely obfuscated by the Western media. And an important fact to remember in all this is that the U.S. is intricately involved in the actions taking place in Yemen, from providing arms used in the attacks, to helping with logistics, to military personnel on the ground. All this while they point a finger at others about the human rights abuses. And as I report on all these stories day after day, it is indeed hard to stay positive, to remain steadfast in my efforts to actually change the path that we are on. But I take comfort in the fact that with each show, I am reaching more critical thinkers and awakening more to the truth behind the lies. I take solace in the fact that as hard as it may be to quantify, each person who begins to speak out and question the actions of their government, as is the essence and foundation of the U.S., each person who takes a moment to share this content with another who may be feeling lost or confused is a victory. So take a moment and reflect on that and how you may do the same, even in some small way in your own area. And we might find one day soon that our words and our actions have reached farther than we ever imagined. The one thing we should never do is stop fighting. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.